Hello and welcome to the Divorced Dadvocate, where we help dads create a healthier and less traumatic divorce. My name is Jude Sandoval and I am your host. Welcome. Today, I will be sharing with you an appearance that I had on Tanya E. Hood's Red Alert Diaries. She was gracious enough to have me on her show where we talked about rebuilding from divorce and talked specifically about some steps that one can take to do that, particularly building self-worth. And I shared 11 steps that that I take clients through, as well as people who attend my Dad's Divorce Blueprint course, 11 steps to working through and building self-worth. So listen in. I hope you find some value. If you have not completed the divorce quiz yet at the website, thedivorcedadvocate.com. I highly suggest it. It's an awesome tool. It will help you gauge a little bit of where you're at in the divorce process compared to others who have gone through divorce. Awesome tool. And there's also, if you complete it, an offer to get together and spend some time reviewing those results together. So check it out at the website, thedivorcedadvocate.com, and click on the tab Divorce Quiz. And now enjoy the Red Alert Diaries.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Red Alert Diaries with Tanya E. Hood. I am Tanya E. Hood, a wife, a mother, and an entrepreneur. As an entrepreneur, it simply means that I've worn a lot of different hats in my life that have helped me develop a full range of strategies and actionable steps that I use to help my clients make a strategic impact, both personally and professionally, to have better than what life has been giving them. Red Alert Diaries is based on the life lessons from my premier book, Red Alert, Is He the One? The Pocket Guide to Finding the Love of Your Life. This series discusses topics of personal growth, developing wealth, building healthy personal and professional relationships, living your authentic life, and personal healing. If you read my book, then you already know that I got married at 21, and after 11 years of marriage, I found myself going through a divorce, having to raise my two sons alone. To reset my life and survive my divorce, I took the time I needed to get to know me better, which allowed me to help others navigate the hurdles that they were experiencing to build a firmer foundation for themselves and those around them. And by taking the time to build a firmer foundation for myself, it opened me up to new love again, which proves there is life after divorce. I also discovered that I have the natural ability to organize chaos, that I am a problem solver, that was able to obtain my electrical engineering degree while raising my two sons and working full-time. I am a strategist that have cleared up $35,000 worth of debt from the aftermath of my divorce in 2 years. And I'm also a business owner that has helped others build a financial freedom plan as a means of getting debt-free so that they can build a financial legacy. On this series of Red Alert Diaries, we're going to be having a conversation about how to navigate the trauma and heartache of divorce. We're going to give more insight about how to use your divorce as a doorway to a wonderful future, how to transition from being powerless to being empowered, and how to gain the emotional strength, stability, and resiliency to move through the process. Today, we have Jude Sandoval to help walk us through the discussion. He is the Divorce Dadvocate, an integrative wellness life and transformation coach, an integrative neuro-linguistic programming practitioner. Jude is going to share with us some phenomenal information that will help us get to our next level. Thanks so much, Jude, for coming today, giving us some insight about how to walk through breaking through the steps to our trauma and knowing how to have a better way of walking through this thing called divorce. So everyone, I want you to get your pen and paper right now so that you are prepared to take this information that he is going to share. And with that, thank you, Jude.
Hey, Tanya, it is such a pleasure to be here. And I've got to say, I have been on a bunch of shows and podcasts, and that is by far the most awesome introduction and intro to a show ever. I absolutely love it. So that is awesome. It just got me so excited and pumped up to talk. So and to share with
That's
everybody.
That's what we need because they're looking for you.
Yeah, you set create the environment that gets us going. So that's pretty awesome. So a little bit about myself to answer your question now we're having this love fest. So I am a divorced dad, right? And that's what got me into the work that I do. I am the divorced father of three daughters, a 15, a 13, and an 11-year-old.
Well, look at you.
you don't see the gray hair because I color it. And I still have some left, however, a big forehead. There's a little bit of drama at my house once in a while, like last night. But so that's really what got me into this work. I was married for 11 years, and I've now been divorced for 9 years. And when I started doing work with men and around masculinity, which I think is a huge topic right now. And what I found was there was a huge need for support and education for divorced or divorcing dads.
Okay.
Because, you know, we go through divorce, and if it's just, the two, that's difficult enough, right? And incredibly challenging as it is, you add a mix of kids in there, no matter what the age, and you know this, and it creates a whole different dynamic. Not to mention, you can't just say, "C'est la vie, it was a nice, fun marriage," and you're on your way off to dating somebody else or whatever you want to do in your life. You're still having some relationship or relations with that person that you're co-parenting mm-hmm. with. So now 9 years down the road, I started to do this work with divorced or divorcing dads. And what we're going to talk about today, though, isn't just specific to divorced or divorcing dads. It's based on a workshop that I teach, that's based on a class, on a book that's called Rebuilding When Your Relationship Ends. And it's some phenomenal information about how to go through it in a kind of step-by-step way to help get back into the world in general, but back into healthy relationships again.
Awesome. Well, with that, I know you have some slides that we're going to go through just to give a few of the touch points. Let me know when you're ready to begin, but I am so glad that you are taking this time because that is a lot that you have going on.
But you are
the perfect person to help our individuals, because men don't always have the support that they really need in this environment. So I thank you for coming here to share that insight with our audience. So when you're ready, let me know when you're ready to have the conversation and go into the discussion.
Yeah, sure. You can put that up because I think it's always better for them to see something other than my mug while I'm talking. And if you want to take it down or put it up. Well, there's my mug. Actually, that's a good mug because, you know, they photoshopped all of it and everything. thank God for these Zoom filters too, right? I don't know if you have your Zoom filter on, but I'm actually 93 years old. So it's, you know, Photoshop and Zoom filters are a godsend for sure.
Well, let me share this part here and walk into the next part of this slide so they can get the chance to see. Tell us what you want to share.
Yeah, so let's talk first about reaching out. And we share reaching out because, this experience is, and if you want to take the slide down, we can take it down. I'd much rather have people seeing us and having a conversation with us. And you're going to monitor if anybody has questions too. I'm going to try to get some feedback too. Reaching out because this process can be an opportunity. And now before everybody clicks off, and says, okay, this guy's crazy that going through divorce, going through something so challenging like this can be an opportunity and actually a creative experience. Hear me out, because when we're going through this, it's seriously a time of reflection. And anybody that's gone through it or is going through it, all kinds of things come up. And if you can take this time to really do some self-reflection, I'm down the road a little bit. I've worked with so many people who are down the road a little bit. It can really absolutely transform your life into, some people call it a 2.0 experience. And so, you know, we all may have been or are trying to figure out why the relationship has ended and have gone through that. And one of those first steps that I talked about or that we talk about in the workshop and in the classes, and what we do is we kind of work up a pyramid type way with this, that this first part is talking about our behaviors and what we actually brought to the relationship, because as egregious as anybody's exes or existing spouse's behavior is or has been, it always takes two people to tango, right? So there's always two people that that bring stuff into the relationship. So, you know, and we all have these different parts of us. So if we can start to pay attention to these different parts, it's incredibly, incredibly informational. And when I say pay attention, it's pay attention to just what's going on with you, what you're feeling, what's coming up in your mind. The author Eckhart Tolle, who wrote The Power of Now, phenomenal book, I highly recommend it, calls it the silent watcher, right? So we're trying to detach ourselves from our crazy thoughts that might be going on. And I call them crazy because it's seriously, sometimes I sit back and I go, did I really just think that? And I think a lot of us could like agree with that sometimes. Calls it the silent watcher. So we just take that time to really understand that we have different parts. Now, some of those parts are healthy and some of those parts are not healthy. And they can't, and a lot of it has to do with our upbringing and our childhood and our early adult years. If we had a really healthy, childhood and parents that were, that were paying attention and cared about our feelings and were involved and present and all those good things, then, you know, we may have had these behaviors that we developed that were healthy, you know, like our feeling part. We learned to get in touch with our feelings and able to communicate those effectively, our creative parts and being able to nurture that creativity in us, the magical part, the part that likes Disney movies or Marvel movies, stuff like that. Those interesting magical ideas that we get in our heads, and even a spiritual part, whatever that may be to you. Those are all good, healthy behaviors that, if developed, help you into your adult life. But even if we have some of the most caring, present parents that are doing everything they can, there's still going to be some behaviors and things that we learn in our childhood that are negative. And we develop these adaptive behaviors around these negative experiences in life. And so... Yeah.
Let me pause you for a second, because there is a lot that you just threw at this group of people. Let's unpack that for a second.
All right.
We are streaming live on Facebook right now, as well as sharing this information that will be shown on YouTube later. And I want them to really grasp what you just said, because too many of us don't pay enough attention to how our childhood is impacting us. And as divorcees, we're doing some of the same stuff to our kids today.
Yeah.
So You just walked through this whole myriad of things, and we have exactly a couple of people right now that's on the Facebook that's wanting to get a little more insight about what it is that they can do. They're already impacted. Mm-hmm. And having three beautiful children of your own now, how do you protect them in this environment as dads? Because a lot of dads aren't with their children. They're not the primary caregiver. So how do they walk through that process?
Right. So in the context of what these behaviors are and what your adaptive behaviors would be, they can be maladaptive behaviors, which means, you know, you're acting out negatively. And maladaptive behaviors can be things like codependency, overgiving, undergiving. They can digress all the way into stuff like alcoholism. So as a parent, it's absolutely critical to be able to start being aware. And that's why this is an opportunity that, right, like I talk about this being a creative opportunity now, if you have children, to be able to pay attention to that. Because as much as I would like to think that my brilliant lectures to my daughters and my wisdom that I'm sharing and the pearls that I drop with them every day is going to help them throughout life, the number one thing that I can do for them is model a pattern of behavior that is positive. And now, if I have these maladaptive behaviors that I'm exhibiting, then they're learning those. And no matter what the age, they're taking those in subconsciously, and they might not even know it and be absorbing it. And for instance, you know, that could be learning to overgive. If you're somebody that's somewhat codependent, like I was, and I had a mother who's very demanding, bordered on narcissistic, and in getting love, depended upon giving something all of the time. So overgiving was a pattern that I learned. So paying attention to this is absolutely huge, and learning how to work towards, you know, being better in making those healthy. So if I was to give homework for somebody tonight, it would be, if you're over, you know, think about something that might be one of these behaviors that you've learned. And a good way to do that is, you know, think, is this, like I always use the example of, I never stopped one day and I said, ha, man, Jude, you know what? I think today I am going to decide to be massively codependent. I'm just going to give and give and give, and I'm not going to get back. And I'm going to be trying to get my needs met by, you know, by giving and overgiving and changing my life and being somebody that's codependent. That never happened. It was only until I did the self-reflection and started to see what my behaviors were in the context of relationship in my household. And here's a funny little thing, Tanya, is that these aren't just in your romantic relationships. What I found is they permeated, like you said, into the relationships with your children, okay, in our families, in our business lives, in our friendships. So if you start to pay more attention to this and you start to like really understand it, you can start taking actionable steps to modifying what those behaviors are. And I'll give you one example for me, the overgiving this week, maybe say no to something that you don't feel comfortable in giving more.
I understand. And with that, I was wondering if this is where we can transition to the next point, because you were having a conversation about narcissism and the experience that you had. We have a lot of those discussions that happen around a lot of people that walk into this environment. So let's share this screen one last time so they can see a little bit about this next point, because now this is where you're talking about reaching out to others. They have done it, but this is where we can move through empowering into the next level. Can you give us a little more information about how to be empowered? Because the goal anytime that we share Red Alert Diaries is to give someone something that they can use today to get through the mess today. because they're having these problems right now. Their children are impacted. They have gone through some of the narcissistic environments, and they may have also had a mother or a parent that has done something similar to them. Can you tell how you got through the journey and how to help them get through it as well?
Sure, absolutely. So what I would say to the first thing, and when you're going through this or any difficult and challenging situation, is just be compassionate with yourself and allow yourself to have those feelings. From a male perspective, oftentimes we are not taught how to do that or to do that. And I find it just, I feel like there's as many women as there are men that have challenges in doing this. It just all really depends upon our childhood. But first, just be compassionate and allow yourself to feel and have those emotions. That is just the absolute number one thing that you can do. And when you're starting this process, especially if you're going through a divorce, it is allow yourself to feel. These emotions are natural. Emotions are natural, whether they're happy emotions, sad emotions, angry emotions. Having the emotions are just that. They are emotions. Now, separating those from behaviors, that's the difference. The emotions are good. What you do with those emotions then becomes a behavior. And that's something that gets mixed up quite often, is the difference between emotions and behaviors. Allow yourself to learn to have these emotions. Now, they're not always convenient when you have them, but having them is important. So if it's not convenient, learn to maybe put it in a box, put it on a shelf, bury it in the sand. And they say emotions only last about 19 seconds. So if you can get through that, like for me, it was always the transition time with my daughters that made me really sad. So maybe take some deep breaths and go for a walk, get through those emotions, but make sure to schedule time to go back to that, because that was a key thing that I didn't do, is that I just was burying these, right? And it took me years and years before I started to say, huh, I'm still having all these relationship problems and all these same things seem to be coming up. What is the one common denominator? I wonder. It was me, right? So when I finally started to pay attention to these emotions coming up and sit with them and be in them, then that's when things started to transition and started to happen. I became that silent watcher and started doing the work that I needed to start to do. So feel those emotions, have those emotions. They're your body's signal to you. And trust me, Tanya, if you don't pay attention to the signals, your body's going to keep telling you and keep coming at you until you do.
So this is the thing. I'm hearing what you're saying about sharing the emotions, feeling the emotions. But we have this thing where society wants to give males the impression that you can't. So how do they still maintain their robust manhood and still walk through this emotional elements that you're discussing? How does that actually happen? What are they supposed to do with that?
Yeah, well, I don't know about you, but sharing feelings is a really, really empowering thing. And there's nothing more masculine than and empowering than, you know, or no, nothing more masculine than being in that, like being in your full empowered self. So that's a great question. And while like my generation still, and I'm aging myself a little bit here, still wasn't taught that, I think it's becoming more commonplace for men to be able to do that. And again, if your mindset, if you can reframe, let's say your mindset around emotions are emotions, right? So nobody's ever saying, Tanya, Jude, why are you so happy today? You're always so happy. But when it's a perceived negative emotion of sadness or depression or anger, right? That's the big one for men. Like, you're so angry. Like, they get stigmatized, and it's okay to still have those feelings. Again, it's what you do with that, what you do with that. So some strategies around, you know, what to do for the men out there, especially with the anger thing. The anger thing comes up a lot. And that's one this is an interesting one too, Tanya. I don't know how much time we got left too, because if I get into this, it's a really important topic. But anger and grief are like the sister emotions. And those are the two ones that I focus in that workshop for because they come up. And grief is one of those emotions that we don't know that we need to go through when we're going through the end of our marriage. There's all these grieving processes for losing a loved one and other things, but for the ending of a marriage, and it's not, there's not, we don't have like a set, we don't set the casket out for our, you know, or the end of the romantic relationship, or the fact that we're a single, you know, we don't have the family unit anymore. We don't have that house that we put all the work into anymore. It's like multiple things that we grieve through this process. And it's not just getting the papers filed. It's like an ongoing thing. And part of that grieving process in the five steps is anger. We all feel it, not only men, women, everybody feels it. And so that's why it's important to learn how to go through these emotions. Another one of the steps is depression that you'll go through as well when you're going through grief. So that's why learning how to process them and what to do with them. And here's the thing.
And let's pause really quick, because you are walking right in the middle of the next point that you wanted them to share. So I have got to put it on the screen. This is the part that you were talking about. Don't live in denial. This is where they are to gain the emotional stability and strength and resiliency to move through this process. So since you started walking into the discussion, let's give them the opportunity to hear, how do we get through this? What's the next part?
Yeah. So that grief, going through that grief process, and once you learn to get into the frame of mind and build those skills to process those, and the pinnacle where you start to hit that top of that pyramid is really starting to be successful at adjusting to the crisis, and then feeling good about yourself, feeling good about your self-worth. Now, self-worth is a really big topic, but the first thing I want to say is, it's not, your self-worth is not your fault. They basically 50% of it you've inherited and you're born with, and 50% of it you learn growing up. So whatever your self-worth is, whether it's good or bad, you've kind of inherited that. Now let's talk about some steps and how much time we have, because I want to know how much I can pontificate.
We still have another 15 minutes. We can walk through 15,
this. Oh, beautiful. We can talk. Yeah, we can walk through these. So, you know, there are some steps, and I've got 11 steps of developing and getting to some greater self-esteem. And the first one is, you've got to make the decision to change your self-esteem. And so, you know, part of that we talked about, you know, making the decision to be the silent watcher. All of this is you're active. You need to be an active participant in your healing. Your healing, you know, that whole philosophy of time heals is really a bad one, because I can tell you that time did not heal me, because I was out ignoring what it is that was coming up and burying it and just trying to numb it all the time with activities and everything else. So time does not heal. You being an active participant in the healing is what is going to heal you. So that's the first one. You've got to decide. And when you're ready, get ready, because it's going to be a whole lot of emotions coming out. But I can say, once you get down into that and down the road on it, it just feels absolutely amazing. The second one is change the way that you look at yourself. Some of this is we're reparenting ourselves, because like I said, 50% of this you're born with, 50% of it you learned. So if we had low self-esteem, if we, you know, were massively codependent like me and had very, you know, had a lot of shame going on, literally have to reprogram our mind to think differently about ourselves. One of the exercises that I do in with my private clients, if necessary, is I'll have them write like the 10 things I like about myself today, journal it every single day. 10 things I like about myself, 10 things I like about myself, and start learning to like yourself, because we are all, you know, children of God. And so we're built in his likeness. We're designed in his likeness. We've just been had our minds programmed the wrong way. The third one is read positive things about yourself out loud to others. And this is where it's great to be involved in a community or have some good friends. If you don't have good friends, I was so blessed to have a good friend to go through this process. And it's also the stimulus of why I started the Divorce Advocate community, to have other men be able to get together and talk to each other. But even if you can't afford a therapist or a coach, having just a friend or 12-step group or some community where you can get together and talk about sharing what is good about yourself, because it's different just saying it and rewiring it in your mind when you get it out loud and talk about it out loud with somebody else. Let's see. The fourth one, and this is a big one. So this is getting really into some action, and that is re-examine all of the relationships that you surround yourself with. You've probably heard the phrase, you are the sum of the three people that you spend the most time with. So, and that includes family members, my friends, because sometimes, and it was my case, the family members are the most detrimental in these the adaptive behaviors that you're recognizing that are not serving you now in your adult life, in your adult relationship. So re-examine those, and people that are not serving you and serving you well and are not positive to your life and your healing, cut them out. Sounds easy. It's easier said than done, I know. Fifth one is get rid of the negative self-thoughts in your head. And this goes back to that silent watcher philosophy. And there's a great story I've heard said, and that is, we will sit and we will listen to some crazy thoughts go through our head. And the story is, where, you know, we might have a spouse or a relation that's not texting us back in an appropriate time frame, and our minds start going, if it's a romantic partner in particular, like, where is he or she at? What are they doing? Are they with somebody? Are they cheating on us? Do they not love me? They're disrespecting me. I mean, we just can like totally go down the rabbit hole and then start making all this stuff and like getting on the hamster wheel and start running on it like a crazy hamster and not being able to stop and get off. And then we just find out that maybe their phone died or they left their phone at home or something like that. And then we just go, oh, okay. But we never pay attention to the fact that we like let ourselves go down that crazy rabbit hole. Whereas if we were sitting in a therapy session with a therapist or a coach, and a therapist and coach were telling us and giving us that advice, like, oh, maybe they're doing that, or we would fire them in an instant. So work on paying attention to first those negative thoughts that go through and observing those and trying to eliminate them from your mind. Six, write positive notes to yourselves and read the affirmations. So we talked about saying them, and we talked about the I like, but this is another one where you're going to be more proactive, maybe sticky notes around, like, I actually go to the next level. I print out like big printouts and put them on my mirror and by my mirror, so I read them every morning. But stuff that's going to remind you, again, our whole goal here is we're reparenting ourselves. We're reprogramming our mind to think in a positive manner, in a better manner, to, you know, in our true self and who we really are. The seventh one, open yourself up to hearing positive comments from others. Now this one is really, really awesome and really, really uncomfortable. And in the class that I teach, we have one whole segment, part of the class, where we will sit and we will just compliment each other. And for guys, you can imagine that's just, that's a really, really interesting and uncomfortable situation, because we're not used to that. We're not used to complimenting each other. But every single time that we do this, in every single class, everybody's reaction once they're done receiving compliments is that felt really good. So on the flip side of that, you know, give compliments all the time because that helps people. And if you've got people around you that are close friends, you know, help ask them to give you compliments also, or ask them positive to give you, you know, statements of what they see and think that is positive about you. Because again, that just continues to help to build that self-worth. Number eight, make a specific change in your behavior. Now, this goes back to my homework assignment, right, that I said about in this previous section, which is do one thing and do one thing at a time, right? Don't try to change everything all at once. I find that lots of times people get into this and they're like, man, I've identified all this stuff and I've got so much to work on and I feel free. Like now I know I can do something. And it's just like trying to start everything and work out and go to church and change this behavior and work on this mindset and read books and meditate and do everything. Take your time. This is going to be an evolving process, almost like when you see those time lapses of the flowers that sprout out of the soil, and then they start to get bigger and grow. It just takes time. So just take one step. That could be today that you're just going to identify one negative thought that comes into your mind, and then you're going to decide whether that's a true thought or not and get rid of it. So take your time, but do take action. And take one action, because if you take one action every day, or you change yourself 1% every day, after a period of time, that's going to be a huge amount of change. So don't measure yourself from the end goal. Measure yourself from what you did yesterday, but absolutely take action every single day. Number nine, and this is probably my favorite one, and that is give and receive hugs. And I'm a hugger, so I love to hug. It's again with guys, it's a little bit of sometimes awkward. Sometimes I'll say, "Can I give you a hug?" But hugs are awesome, and they've shown to have positive physiological changes in your body immediately when you get that touch and when you receive that. You're connecting with somebody. Your heart, you know, your heart is the biggest energy center, not your mind. Your heart is the biggest energy center in your entire body. And when you hug, you're connecting those energy centers together. And it feels really, really fantastic. You might not feel it you might not see it on the conscious level, but I promise you that it's happening. So give and receive hugs every day, every morning. That's my thing with my daughters, and I'd like give them a big hug every morning. I love that. And before bed, at the very least, I'm giving them a hug. So, and I hug everybody else as much as possible without being weird. Number 10, work hard at meaningful communication with others. Now, this could blanket like everything that we talk about, but meaningful communication is absolutely huge. And this is not something that we are ever taught in school anywhere. And if our parents never taught it to us, which my parents never did, and I think a ton don't, and we don't think of it. It's not that they did anything wrong. They did the best that they could, but we don't ever think about, well, let's see, what's the most important thing in life? It's communicating. Well, so maybe we should teach communicating. We don't teach in school. You don't see higher education of communication. Well, there are communications degrees, right? But not in the sense that I'm talking about here, which is learning how to effectively communicate. And there are different ways to do that. The one that I have settled on, that I have found is just absolutely remarkable, is called nonviolent communication. And what that does is it takes all of the negative parts of communicating, the talking about past things, diving down into making assumptions about people and their intentions. And it's just a simple four-step structure for communicating directly to people. It can be in romantic relationships. I do it with my daughters. I've taught it to my daughters. It's easy to read about. But once you get into it, it takes a lot of thought and practice. But I'm telling you, it can be just about one of the most amazing tools you can utilize in being able to effectively build a relation, build and maintain relations in your life. So, and then the last one is, if you can, and this might seem like a plug, but I only say it now because I'm 9 years down the road and I didn't do this. And thinking back, if I had, I feel like I would have been so much further ahead than I am now that I am doing coaching, is that find a therapist or a coach, because they can help to cut down that time. They see things, right? They see your blind spots that you don't see, and they have the knowledge to guide you. They're not gonna teach you anything. They're not gonna give you an enlightenment, and I never do with any of my clients. They're just gonna help you down the road to help to bring out from within you what it is that you need to be working on and the road that you need to go down and travel. And if you can't afford therapist or coach, although I'd say do whatever you can to try to get involved in communities, get involved with 12-step groups, get involved with church communities, get involved with meetup groups, get involved with anybody that you can get in to conversation with and be able to talk and share. And those are the 12 steps, or the 11 steps to a greater self-esteem, which is like, that's the pinnacle then, Tanya, of that pyramid. We started dealing with the emotions and identifying our behaviors. And then we started working up that ladder, if you will, to feeling better about ourselves. And then we take that all together and pow, I mean, life starts to really take shape and starts to really groove after a while once you start doing that. But I'm going to be absolutely forthright here and say it takes effort. And so You got to put that effort into it. And like anything else in life, the more effort you put into it, the greater outcome you're going to have.
So that was phenomenal. And I'm glad you gave those 11 steps, because they are also intertwined and building on top of each other. And since it was so much, for those that are taking notes, can you give a quick summary, like if there's a one word title for each of them, like the one that I was looking at is number 9, hugs. Have you come back and get another conversation about how you get men to hug and get that part together. But could you give run through the 11 really quick so the note takers can be certain that they have all of their points?
Absolutely. So first is make the decision to change. The second is change the way you look at yourself. The third is read positive things about yourself aloud to others. The fourth is examine your relationships and change the ones that are not serving you. The fifth is get rid of negative self-thoughts in your head. The sixth is write positive notes to yourself and read positive affirmations to yourself. The seventh is open yourself up to hearing positive comments from others. The eighth is make a specific change in one of your behaviors. The ninth, and both of our favorites, is give and get more hugs. The 10th, work hard at meaningful communication with others. And the 11th is, if you can, find a therapist or coach to help you with all of this.
Thank you so much for that. And I know the 11th one was something that I had to start working my way into the best I could, because when I left my marriage, I was devastated financially, which is one of the reasons why I take the time now to help others get to a better financial position. But I couldn't do the coaching thing. But one of the things I'm clear about, you are always the direct beneficiary for the efforts that you put forth to grow you and help you be whole. And sometimes that coaching aspect might be some small things. Like I did a lot of reading, a lot of small little personality tests and things until I got to the place where I could afford, because I gained more insight by paying my coach and therapist to navigate some of those things that I was experiencing. And a part of those things, I know, with both of us sharing insight to help others, is what I now give now to help others through the process, because it was given to me. And that is why we're also having this Red Alert Diary session. So thank you, Jude, for pouring into others. Thank you so much for sharing this information with individuals. And before we go, because we're about to wrap up, people, he has a special gift he wants to give with you. Let me share the screen really quick while you talk about it.
Okay. Yeah. And God bless you for doing this, Tanya, because it's a labor of love, I know too. And sharing, and I want to tell everybody out there that it will and can get better. So just you know, make the effort. And on that note, I've got on my website at thedivorcedadvocate.com a divorce quiz. And why this is so cool is because it will really help you kind of assess where you're at mentally and emotionally in the divorce and in your divorce process compared to others who have gone through it. And tens of thousands of people have taken it. And so it's really cool. It's at thedivorcedadvocate.com. Click on divorce quiz tab. Takes about 10, 15 minutes, and then it's going to shoot out a result. And then if you want to sit down and talk about it, I'm happy to spend some time going over the results and giving you some feedback around it.
All right. Thank you for letting us know that. And for those of you that know you need some support, reach out to Jude. He is an individual that can help you through the 11 points, give you some more insight about how to apply some of that, because there were some key things that's in there that I know are very difficult, like how to eliminate the negative self-talk, how to effectively communicate, and the discussion that you were saying that where you're able to teach the four-step structure to get into better communication. So those are things that we really need. Thank you again, Jude, for sharing this with my audience. Thank you so much for pouring into individuals, because divorcees are a group of individuals, you already know. It's near and dear to my heart because we need the help.
Yeah.
And with that, let me share the screen one more time to let people know how they can reach out to you.
All right, Tanya. So it's been my absolute pleasure to share today. Best way to reach me is directly on my cell phone. And yes, I do. I give out my cell phone. It's 720-255-1021. And no matter what you're going through, what's happening, you can feel free to call or text me on that number. If you want to check out more information, you can go to thedivorcedadvocate.com, and that has links to the podcast and the webcast, as well as our blog, as well as our LinkedIn and Facebook channels as well, and that divorce quiz that I talked about, and the workshops and the classes. We got a new class coming up starting this Sunday. It's Dad's Divorce Blueprint. It's a 6-week course that's a proven effective step-by-step model for putting your life back together during and after divorce.
Well, thank you. And with that, everyone, you know where you can get some help. And I wanted to make certain that men had someone that they can go to that has a clear understanding about what you're experiencing. You have to take the time to get yourself to the best place of healing, because there are individuals looking for you. For some of you, those are your children. For others, it's a legacy that you need to make for the next generations to come, and others that are looking towards you to be the impact that they need to help them get to their next level. So with that, I want to share a few little things, and then we will close out. Thank you again, Jude, for sharing this information with my group. And for those of you that are looking to get a little more support, you're aware that I offer a course called Navigating Life After Divorce. This is a session that takes 5 weeks for you to walk through, and it gives you insight into your core strengths and allows you to have the opportunity to know how to quickly eliminate conflict so that you can reach your next level. This is Tanya E. Hood, walking in my purpose, And I want you to do the same.